This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. That is the foursome. You want to get in touch with us throughout the show? You can call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. Talk a little NBA in 20 minutes. Sean Devaney covers the NBA for Heavy.com. Fill us in on the Kyrie deal, what the Wizards might be up to, the upcoming NBA playoffs, and more. But wanted to touch on Taylor Heinicke. A lot of people assume Taylor Heinicke's found a home here in D.C. He's happy to be in the NFL. He's been back and forth as a starter and a backup, that he would just stay here with Ron Rivera. But Commander's Wire kind of connecting some dots. So over the weekend, Scott Turner got a new job. The former Commander's offensive coordinator was hired as the passing game coordinator in Vegas for the Raiders. The Raiders will have some quarterback upheaval because Derek Carr is going to either be traded or they're just going to let him go. Derek Carr is not going to be part of the equation. So, connecting the dots, with Scott Turner bringing his boy, Taylor Heinicke, to be a backup in Vegas.
It's not the craziest idea in the world. He's familiar with the system. He's played in the system for multiple years. The only guy that's going to be there is Jarrett Stidham. I mean, you have to upgrade from Jarrett Stidham, I would think, heading into 2023. That's not going to be the only guy in your room. I would guess somebody with a higher profile than Taylor Heinicke is going to be there.
I would think
you
would have
well.
Multiple options.
Right, but that's the one that, if you're Taylor, makes a lot of sense in terms of kind of knowing for sure you got a guy in your corner.
Right,
and you know the system.
And you know the system, which is invaluable.
Wouldn't you prefer knowing the system versus a new offensive coordinator? Still haven't hired one here in Washington.
But he has also reached a point, though, where he's accomplished enough that, you know, maybe going to another system might actually benefit him. It might.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't want to be pigeonholed as just knowing Scott Turner's system.
Is it one of the criticisms of Scott's offense that you're not given a lot of leeway at the line of scrimmage? That, you know, his system relies on them making their own reads and, you know, like the receivers, I guess.
Maybe. I don't know how much Scott Turner, though, is going to have control as a passing game coordinator, because Josh McDaniels, the head coach, is he's an offensive guy.
Yeah,
and he calls the plays, as far as I know.
True.
Yeah, so who knows how much of the system he's going to bring? We have no idea.
That's true.
It just sounds like McDaniels is hiring a guy to help him out, but
you got a flag waiver for you.
Yes.
And that's big.
Yes, and
when
going
you're
back
a,
the history,
a backup quarterback.
The history of these two, there was one NFL coach who came to see him at ODU on his pro day. That was Scott Turner.
Right.
And then when Denver had that COVID issue a couple seasons ago where they were down to, didn't they have a wide receiver play quarterback?
Yeah.
Oh, that was COVID, yeah.
Then teams were scrambling, and Turner said, hey, let's bring in this guy, Taylor Heinicke, to be the backup.
But if
to the backup, he was the COVID guy. And then eventually he was playing in. I mean, it is an amazing story.
If he has a bunch of options, he may not even look at Vegas, because isn't McDaniels, like, his reputation now is that he's a guy that just rakes his quarterbacks over the coals. Like, he's just brutal to work for and to be, you know, under his thumb. Yeah. Ask Jay Cutler. Ask Derek Carr. Like, he will not hesitate to call you out in front of everybody and tell you you're a piece of garbage and you're playing awful. Like, maybe Taylor Heinicke knows that and looks at that and says, it's nice that Scott Turner's there, but do I really want to get yelled at 24 hours a day by my head coach? Mm, yeah. I may look elsewhere.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It depends
point.
On what the offers are and who's
right.
interested.
I mean, if it's the same type of offer, why would he take that?
Right.
And if it's a two-year offer and guaranteed money,
the thing
guaranteed
is, though,
2 years, then
this,
that's a different story.
At this point, though, if they offered him and their only other quarterback on the roster is Stidham, mm-hmm. you're saying, I think I got a reasonably decent chance right. of beating that guy out.
Right. He may.
Now, that can't be the Raiders' plan.
No, can't imagine.
I don't think anybody's going to sign Taylor to be the de facto starter. But
if you're Washington, are you okay with letting him walk?
Sure.
Yes.
Sure. I mean, he's I like Taylor having Heineke. Him as a reliable backup.
I mean, he's fine, but again, at the end of the day, he's Taylor Heinicke. Like, he's not gonna.
Aren't you okay with letting him walk?
Playoff
yes.
games
yes.
or
like, posing the question?
He's a high level backup is the way I kind of see him, and if. If you're the Raiders, if you can get him for $4 or $5 million a season, whatever the going price is, it's a good backup plan to have.
Yeah, but why are you just want to discard a high level backup?
Just because.
Well, Cakes is just like, fine, go, leave.
Well, I just think it's
backup
because,
quarterback
because
is Ron, becoming a very.
I don't think Ron values him.
It's a very necessary position in today's football.
It all comes down to dollar and cents. That's what it comes down to.
It does. I think people here would just rather dream. That their backup is some sort of star.
And maybe,
waiting.
You know what? Maybe they'll say you're valuable as a backup and a spot starter. We'll give you 2 years. 2 years. Boom. Take it.
I definitely think that Martin Mayhew appreciates his value.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how much say he has in the process, but listening to him and his little presser that he did, his little roundtable after the season ended, Martin Mayhew definitely respects him and
right.
and appreciates how he's basically bailed them out the last two seasons.
True. But if I'm Taylor Heinicke, I'm going to tell my agent, hey, why don't we make a call to Arizona? Kyler Murray's not going to be ready for the start of the season, and the only guy I have to beat out is Colt McCoy. I could sign up for that, see if there's interest there. Now, there might not be because Arizona's already got Colt McCoy under contract. I don't think he's a free agent.
He signed a two-year deal.
But let's play this out. Let's say
but, I mean, there are a lot of teams. Tampa. Well, they got to know Tom Brady. They got Blaine Gabbert.
There's a lot of spots with opportunity.
But hold on,
Kyle Trask.
Let's play this out. If Taylor goes and all you have on the roster is Howell, you have to have a veteran. Yeah. You can't just draft a guy.
That's
and say
where
that's
you bring
the
in your Jacoby Brissett.
You know, of course, you draft a vet. I mean, you bring in a
but
veteran.
But then you're kind of in the same boat.
Correct.
Yep. They're always going to be the
it's
same.
It's just
boat.
A different guy.
Just a different guy.
It's really what it is. It comes down to. Are you just sick of Heinicke and just want a different guy to be in that role?
I like him. I think I'm fine with him staying. The only downside to him staying, and Cakes and I have talked about this in the weeks previous, is that there is this sort of weird obsession where the Heinicke hive, as soon as the starter struggles, they'll start buzzing again, mm-hmm.
yeah.
and they'll want him in
element.
There.
That's right. The RG3 theory, that Heinicke is always going to be knocking on the door.
And some people think Ron will buckle because he pays attention to what the fans
he kinda
want.
He kind of does.
What the media wants.
Waiting, though. I mean, look, you can't make any moves in free agency until, what, March 15th, March 17th, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still a month plus away from free agency. But they also haven't hired the offense coordinator, so... I would suppose you would want your offensive coordinator to have some input
right.
in deciding on who your backup quarterback's
going
to be.
The new OC might walk in and say, I don't really like Taylor Heinicke. You guys should just let him walk. And I don't know how much influence that person will have, whoever that is. But, I mean, maybe the new guy just doesn't like Taylor Heinicke and his skill set.
On Thursday, Ian Rappaport said, I think Bieniemy is really in play for a play-calling or OC job, a couple of different places. Baltimore, and I think the Commanders is really one to consider.
And that's Ron's guy. That is Ron's mouthpiece, too.
When is he going to make that announcement?
If Bieniemy lands in Washington.
Friday.
You think
let's
Friday?
Let's say after the Super Bowl, Monday or Tuesday. Let's say they blow him out of the water. They offer him like big bucks, play calling. He shares the play calling with Andy Reid. All right, he's been overshadowed there. So they give him big bucks. $2 million, $3 million, whatever the heck it is, to be the offensive coordinator and play caller. And he says, like you said, I've seen Taylor Heinicke. I want somebody else.
Right. You just move on.
He might have his guy.
Definitely. Of course he has guys that he likes.
He wants Chad Henne to follow him.
Well, that guy's had a long, remarkable – well, not very remarkable, but he's had a long career.
I'm just really desperate to know, are they going to, in fact, let Sam Howell go into camp as the guy?
I still find it hard to believe, yeah. But –
I think you're going to have...
How many passes did he throw?
There's going to be a veteran number that comes in along with Sam Howell.
That's fine.
There's going to be an Andy Dalton.
I agree.
A Marcus Mariota. Teddy Bridgewater.
But there's not going to be a clear-cut number one. Is that what you're saying?
I think it's going to be nebulous.
Yeah. So they're not going to bring in a Carr, a Garoppolo.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think they are either.
I think it's burned Ron too many times already.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he never landed to his guy. Like, why keep... Like, you're a baseball player, right? First pitch, you swing and miss. Second pitch, you swing and miss. Right. Are you then just going to take if it's right down the middle? You still got to swing.
You got to swing at it, baby.
You still got to swing, right? So we know Carson Wentz and Ryan Fitzpatrick, those weren't his first choices. So I think they should still swing for Derek Carr and Jimmy G and all those guys.
But are those anybody's first choices?
Maybe this year.
Yeah,
teams are desperate.
I mean, I'd say Aaron Rodgers is the first choice.
First choice.
Right. Aaron Rodgers is the first choice. They should work down the list. The problem is they've worked down the list and they've ended up with
That's what happened with Carson Wentz. Like, Carson Wentz wasn't their first choice, but he was attainable because they could trade for him. Carson Wentz had zero say in where he wound up.
All right, here's a question.
If he got traded for.
So Arizona still doesn't have a coach, right? No,
I don't think Indy
or
Arizona, right?
Yeah, Kyler
toxic.
People don't like the deal. Could they trade? Is Kyler tradable?
I mean, I don't think he has a no trade clause.
I'm still tantalized by the talent.
You want to trade for Kyler Murray coming off an ACL tear?
He's not going to be ready till midseason at earliest.
Yeah, that hurts it.
It hurts short term. I like the talent and the upside. I hated him in that Cliff Kingsbury offense. Mm-hmm. Get him an offense where he can thrive, and then maybe we can talk. But last year was not a good Kyler Murray year.
He's the Kyrie Irving of the NFL.
Yeah.
And the truth is, we have no idea. They could be positioning themselves to draft somebody. We don't think that that's likely, but
most
they could be.
Most of the mocks I've
they
seen,
they could be trading for somebody.
Don't have them picking a quarterback.
They could be targeting somebody in free agency. And... it also might come down to the offensive coordinator. Ron likes to delegate.
Yeah,
so he brings in a new offensive coordinator and says, well, what do you think we should do?
Let's see who they bring in as OC first. Ron, can you just name an OC?
Can't. You can't do it.
Can anybody give me a Ron at Pebble Beach update? Did he shoot horribly? How did he perform?
I guess he didn't win.
I never saw his name.
Not once.
Did he make the cut? Hopefully he didn't make the cut.
Well, there was no cut.
Yeah,
for the
they
amateurs.
All make the cut.
They say what? They get three rounds.
Yeah. Well, they usually get four.
Oh,
but there's
a
top 20
was a cut.
No, there's a top 25 there. But for this tournament, since they had the suspension,
there wasn't a cut.
Correct.
Yeah, because
they named
Aaron
a winner.
Rodgers said he hadn't made the cut, and that was the whole thing with Ray Romano.
No, the top 25 amateur teams make the cut to that final day.
Yeah, because Ray Romano used to always say his whole purpose in life was to make the cut.
But
at Pebble.
For this year, there was no cut.
Gotcha.
I didn't even see his name.
Gotcha.
I'm sure you can find that out.
It's a lock. His partner probably wanted to go for the green. Ron wanted to lay up. Ron probably didn't go
did
for
you
it.
See
it.
But it's Riverboat Ron, Kay.
There was he had interaction with Bill Murray.
He did?
Yeah. I saw that. They just took a picture together.
I only watched a little bit of it, and I just kept seeing Jason Bateman.
That was your guy?
I was stunned at how long his hair was.
Oh, is he growing it? Is growing it out?
It's very long.
No, it's very long.
Really?
Yeah.
I was also stunned at how... solid he was. He was solid. Dad, I didn't see him shank anything. Did you see him?
Isn't he a pretty good athlete? Didn't he win like a Grand Prix race or something?
Jason Bateman?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't consider drivers athletes. I'm sure that infuriate the F1 crowd. I'm sorry. Drab, does that upset you if you don't consider drivers an athlete? I'm sure you have to have quick reaction
different
time.
Different kind of athletes. Great endurance athletes. Great hand-eye coordination.
Right.
You know. Not brute strength. Not really there. Well, they're all like 5'5", 130 pounds.
They're all tiny.
Maybe it's that silly.
But it was interesting to see Bateman on the course because, you know, I just kind of know him from
Marty Bird.
Marty, and how serious he is.
Yeah.
Right?
Goofing around and everything.
And now he's just goofing around laughing at everybody.
I mean, why do
totally
you sleep on
different.
Horrible Bosses? That is a comedy tour de force with Jason Bateman. So right. funny.
So, anyway.
I can't find Ron Rivera's score.
How come they don't have Ron's score, Valdez? What's up? They
I don't know. I can't find the amateur leaderboard.
Maybe they just don't want to embarrass him.
No, I mean, they have an amateur leaderboard that flash on the Golf Channel, but I can't find it on the internet.
Did Barkley play?
No.
No.
He's done playing?
Yeah, I just see the
well, you know what else is done is the AT&T Pro-Am.
I'm with you.
I loved it.
Jason
only
Bateman
D-Mac was
has been in
well.
100 comedies, and Jason only knows him from Ozark. Marty Bird. Yeah. He's been acting for like 40 years.
He's been grinding
but I don't,
for a
but
long
I don't
time.
Watch, I don't watch a lot of those movies. I mean, Ozark is pretty much the only thing I watch.
Do this. At some point in the next month, watch the unedited version of Horrible Bosses. And if you think that's not funny, if you think that's not knee-slappingly funny, I'll give you $5. Deal? Do we have a deal?
All right. I don't usually laugh that much.
Well, this will make
it's
you
like,
laugh.
It's so. Like saying Adam Sandler is so serious in Uncut Gems.
So I don't know.
Maybe they're protecting the amateurs. I cannot find it on internet. If somebody has it, please
Ron's
tweet
like,
us at Junks
secret.
Radio.
I wasn't that silly out of the left coast this week.
I did see Justin Timberlake almost have a hole in one. I think it was at Pebble at that one sort of iconic hole. Is that number 7? The short par 3.
Yeah, 7.
Number 7,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Where he hit it to just a couple
Justin
inches.
Timberlake?
I thought, yeah.
Sure you're not thinking of Josh Allen?
Justin Timberlake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know Josh Allen almost had a hole-in-one on the practice round on number 7.
Yeah, no, it was definitely JT, but maybe it was a clip from a previous year.
I didn't think Timberlake was in this one.
Yeah, I didn't think
I
so.
I saw
either.
A clip of it, so yeah. Maybe it was from a previous year.
All right, we're going to switch gears. Coming up next, we'll talk a little NBA. The Wizards, of course, made a trade a couple weeks ago, trading away Rui Hachimura. Then they won a bunch of games in a row until they started playing some real teams. They've lost 2. Kyrie Irving gets
You're
dealt to the Dallas
on
Mavericks.
After they lose 2.
I am. I got a little high for a second. And I got a little taste of reality this weekend. We'll talk a little NBA with Sean Devaney next here on the Junkies.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, just a little aside, when I went to the Wizards game on Friday night, kind of felt like the Junkies had arrived. You know those guys who are hawking the fake hats?
Oh, yeah.
They're outside.
Okay, yeah,
you know,
sure.
And almost
hats,
always,
yeah.
They'll say, 2 for $10 or mm-hmm. whatever they're selling it for, sure. Right? $2 for $10? Walked by and the guy goes, Junkies! Yeah,
nice.
Did he give you a hat?
No.
A street vendor recognized you. We have arrived.
All right, we are going to talk a little NBA right now with Sean Devaney. Covers the NBA for Heavy.com, NBA Insider. He joins us on the BetQL Guest Hotline. Sports betting has come to Maryland. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. BetQL analyzes every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. Get 3 free days of BetQL access by downloading the BetQL app or visiting BetQL.com. Good morning, Sean.
How are you guys?
Hey, speaking of betting, our partner here, Jason Bishop, had a bet, 13-game parlay, and he was 12 for 12, all favorites, but he bet on Denver yesterday, not knowing they were going to start guys we've never heard of.
Yeah, they bench four. Yeah. They bench four starters. And
maybe
I no
it shouldn't
idea.
Even be legal.
Yeah.
No, I know, and you know, I'm starting to move towards Steve Kerr, who wants a 72 game schedule. Maybe that's the next step. I don't know. You know, it's definitely getting worse and worse. You know, players and GMs and all that will say, well, you know, this is what the science says we should be doing and all that, and that's fine. But man, if you're an NBA fan, you go to some of these games, you don't know what you're going to get.
All right, so let's start locally. The Washington Wizards had a nice little six-game winning streak. They lost their last two 20-point leads in both of their games. How do you assess this Wizards team? They traded away Rui. To us, they're kind of stuck. What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, I think the last eight games kind of sums it up, right? That they're capable of going on a six-game winning streak and putting together some nice wins, you know, going out on the road. And certainly offensively, they've got enough capability to do that kind of thing. They're also capable of going back-to-back and losing 20-point leads in two straight games and losing 10 in a row. You know, I think this is when they sort of made the commitment to Bradley Beal, and Bradley Beal made the commitment to them, this was always going to be where they are, is just in the middle. And they've tried to shuffle the deck as many times as they can and catch some lightning in the bottle, whether it's Porzingis or Dinwiddie or, you know, whatever it's going to be, you know, now Kyle Kuzma. You know, they've tried to shuffle the deck as many times as possible, and really they've, you know, they just kind of wind up in the same place around 500, which is, of course, that's NBA purgatory, one of the worst places you could be, and that's been the real problem.
If you were Tommy Shepard's right-hand man, helping him make moves before the trading deadline in a few days, who would be the next person to go, or do you just keep this unit as they are after the Rui deal?
Yeah, I'm not sure there's much you can do at this point. You know, they don't have their pick in the upcoming draft, and there's not a lot of guys. You know, they're trying to see what they can get for Will Barton, obviously. You know, there's teams that hope that ends in a buyout, which is possible. But, you know, other than that, they've kind of made the decision that they're going to re-up with Kuzma. And once you've made that decision, then, you know, that's the direction. He's really the only other guy you could trade and get something of value right now. I'd advise them to trade him. You know, people think of Kuzma as a young guy, but he came into the league at 23, 24. So, I mean, he's already 27. And you know, if you commit a 4-year deal to him, you're paying him into his 30s. And he's an okay player, but certainly not, you know, a guy you really want to have as one of your top three guys offensively. So, you know, that my advice would be to move Kyle Kuzma. They've made the decision pretty much that they're not going to do that. You know, so having said that, there's really not a whole lot else on this roster that teams are knocking down the door for.
All right, so obviously the big deal was made yesterday. Kyrie is going to Dallas, and Kyrie, you know, he's been a menace, off the charts, you know, talent-wise. But, man, he's just so risky to have in your locker room and on your bench. And if he's not happy, he's just going to cause a lot of drama. He's done that in three different cities. So, but Mark Cuban's all in. You know, he figured, all right, if I want to get back to the Western Conference Finals and possibly win something, I need two superstars. And Luka's been in and out with the injury, so they need another guy that can kind of carry it. So it makes sense on the court, but is it a risk because of the way Kyrie kind of handles himself, and he can be a coach killer? Who knows how much he's going to be liked in that locker room? What's your instinct on this deal?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously the risk part is you know, if we're just talking about talent, you know, that would be one thing. But you know, if you can get a guy like Kyrie Irving with that kind of talent for, you know, a draft pick and Dorian Finney-Smith, then you know that you're not just dealing with talent, you know, that you're dealing with all this other baggage. And the big picture for the Dallas Mavericks is always, all right, what happens with Luka? You know, what happens with him long term? Can we put the right fit around him? And it's just hard to see how Kyrie Irving is ever going to be the right fit. You know, I talked to somebody close to Luka, and the feeling is sort of, you know, well, let's see. You know, he's not going in expecting this to be a disaster. But it's hard to see how it ends anyway but that. You know, both of those guys need the ball in their hands. You mentioned Kyrie Irving, being a problem when he's upset. It's a problem when he's happy. You know, I mean, don't forget that he told the Celtics, he told all the season ticket holders in 2019, I'm going to re-sign, I'm going to be here. He tried to get Anthony Davis to come to Boston. And then, you know, a few months later, he left. And Brooklyn was supposed to be him coming home, and this was everything that he wanted. He got Kevin Durant to go there. They bring in James Harden. Harden spent, you know, a year there and was like, I'm out, you know, get me out of here. I can't play with this guy. And Kevin Durant it's no skin off his back now that Kyrie's not there. So, you know, it's not just when Kyrie's upset, it's when he's happy as well. But you've got to look out. For the Mavericks, what a gamble that is. He's going to be a free agent this summer, so they have to decide, you know, what they pay him and how they pay him. That was a big issue in Brooklyn as well. Just a huge, huge gamble for the Mavericks.
So the Lakers were a team that was thought to be a team that would bring him in. LeBron James is always weird on Twitter and Instagram, and it looked like he was flirting with Kyrie, and then afterwards had a tweet, maybe it's me. What happened there with the Lakers, who, if they added Kyrie with a healthy Anthony Davis and LeBron, if they get into the playoffs, they would be a major threat?
Yeah, and you know, the view around the league is that, you know, you pretty much had to put Kyrie with LeBron in order for things to work, in order to get him. You know, he's the only other guy who Kyrie has kind of ever listened to and willingly been the second fiddle to, and not pulled this kind of drama, not pulled the kind of stuff that he's pulled. That was the view around the league. But the Lakers didn't have the package. They did not have, you know, if you're going to send Russell Westbrook to go play with Kevin Durant again, the Nets, of course, were going to say, yeah, so thanks, and Kevin Durant wasn't exactly on board with that either. So, you know, the Lakers just didn't have the pieces. It would have had to have been a three-team deal. They would have had to have moved one of those future draft picks that everybody values so much because they expect the Lakers to be bad in a few years. And the Lakers weren't going to do that. So as long as that was the case, they weren't going to get past an offer from pretty much anybody who could offer a pick and a couple guys who could at least be useful, which is what Dallas did.
And was there a chance that they just didn't make that deal? Yes, you're right. The package wasn't as good, but maybe they just said, you know what? We really know you want to go there, so we're not trading you there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't look, Brooklyn at this point is they're at a tipping point too, right? That they've got to decide, and there's a lot of folks around the league who think that Kevin Durant in the offseason will be back on the market probably not before Thursday. But if things go as we expect them to go, which is Brooklyn will be a pretty good team, but not very good, that Kevin Durant will be traded again. So if you're the Nets, you know, you've got to be thinking about your future. You've got to be thinking long term. Trading for Russell Westbrook is not thinking long term because, you know, he's going to be a free agent. You're basically just trading him to get rid of Kyrie Irving. And that was never going to be enough. You know, they've got to think, about what's next for them. Do they keep Kevin Durant? Do they try to trade him again in the offseason? The Lakers were never going to be able to do something that was going to help them in that.
Sean, do you think when Kevin Durant's alone at night, just pouring a drink, he's like, I should have stayed in Golden State. This whole Brooklyn thing is a giant mess. Right?
Yeah, I think he sits and watches the 2017 NBA Finals over and over again because you don't know what it's got till it's gone. If I would fully expect that if Brooklyn does put him on the market again at some point, that the Warriors are going to be first in line, and everybody's going to say, "Hey, let's finish out our careers together, Clay and and Steph Curry. We'll see what happens with Draymond and Kevin Durant, but they're going to try to get that band back together. Look, anybody who's put too much faith in Kyrie Irving has wound up getting burned, and Kevin Durant is the biggest example of that.
So, Sean, let's talk about going forward here. Let's just say best case scenario, Kyrie decides, okay, this is going to work for me for the next, couple months, and there's 25 games left or so, and then you get to the playoffs. He's going to commit. He buys in. He wants to win a championship, rather than just kind of decide when he wants to play and when he doesn't want to play. So just considering who's in front of them, the Phoenixes, the Clippers, the Kings, all those teams, Denver's probably going to win the Western Conference. I can't imagine they're going to blow a 4.5 game lead with 25 to play, but who knows? Is Dallas now, in your opinion, the team to beat if Kyrie buys in and he's totally 100% in?
I wouldn't necessarily say the team to beat, but that's part of the thinking in making this deal. As you look at the Western Conference, and it's not very imposing. You've got the Nuggets, who've never been to the finals. These guys have no experience. You've got the Grizzlies, same situation. I mean, Sacramento is the number three team in the West right now. Teams are waiting for the Clippers to get it together, the Warriors to get it together. So there's a lot of teams there that are very, very beatable, and that's part of the thinking with Dallas here is that they put together a run, catch some lightning in the bottle, and find themselves at least in the Western Conference Finals again, if not in the NBA Finals. So that's part of the thinking, and yeah, that's the best case scenario. Part of the problem they've got now is that, look, Dorian Finney-Smith was a really important role player for them. He played both forward positions, very good 3-and-D kind of player. They're going to miss him, and they don't have a lot of role players on that team now, having made this deal. So they're trying to make some other deals here. They're trying to find something else to add some depth, and Tim Hardaway Jr. is a guy they'd like to move. They've got to do something else. They've got to add some depth to this team. If they can do that, then yeah, you'd have to put them in the top three in the Western Conference. I don't know that I'd quite call them the favorite, but if they can make another move, add some depth, the Western Conference is there for the taking, and that's part of what motivated this for Dallas.
All right, so before the deadline on Thursday, give us a couple bigger names that you think will be dealt.
Oh, boy.
I'm putting you on the spot there. Sorry, buddy.
No, that's all right. When you talk about bigger names, it's like on the trade market, you might think of it as a big name, but it's not really all that big. So that's part of the issue. Malik Beasley is a guy who's been very, very much talked about. Pretty much everybody with the Jazz, they had that hot start, but Jared Vanderbilt, who's a guy who a lot of people thought that the Jazz were going to try to keep. He's a guy who's likely on the move, and Malik Beasley and Kelly Olynyk. Again, not huge names, but those are certainly guys who are there. Buddy Hield. I think the team to watch probably more than anybody is Toronto. Because they could put OG Anunoby on the market. They're certainly listening to offers, and if they do that, there's a chance that they could put both Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam. Those are probably the biggest names that we could see move. All-star type guys. But we don't know if Toronto's quite at that spot yet. So I think Toronto's probably the team to keep an eye on most closely.
Got you.
All right, Sean. Good stuff. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate Sean Devaney, you can check out his work at heavy.com. You want to chime in? 800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. We're the Junkies. Be right back. Welcome back, Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington.
I wanted to tell you this story that I saw about burger joints.
Okay.
How many of you guys are big on the burger joints?
I am. Who doesn't like hamburgers?
JP.
I
love hamburgers.
Like fancy ones?
Well, like burger joints. You know, like Five Guys, that kind of
thing. Hamburger.
I'm not a big burger joint guy. I like hamburger. Who doesn't? But I typically don't go. But here are eight. Usually, I'll be honest with you, I love cheeseburgers at McDonald's. They're very basic. Sure. It's the most basic burger in the history of burgers.
Very small.
I can pinch it, not eat the bun, and I can eat it in two bites.
Yep.
And it's delicious. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I'm not delusional. I know those are all frozen patties. They're just
hamburger.
Whatever they're doing, microwaving them or whatever. Here are eight chains that make their burgers fresh on site. You guys care to guess?
Fresh.
You guys care to guess any of
eight?
These?
Well, I mean, Five
I do
guys
know that McDonald's.
Five Guys is on the list.
Yeah. I think McDonald's now makes the quarter pounder with cheese there on the spot. It's different.
It's not listed, so maybe they do. I don't know if the order of this is like their preference, but the first one they list is Smash Burger. Remember, we had lunch with the guy, Tom.
Yeah.
They created Smash Burger.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you want to get a fresh burger.
Fresh meat.
Now, as Drabby said, these places all charge.
Oh, it's a lot more.
An outrageous amount these days for a burger.
For a gourmet burger, you're going to spend $20.
Hamburger.
But Smash Burger and Five Guys, I didn't even know. Here's another one that makes it fresh. I didn't even know this place still existed. Fuddruckers. Is Fuddruckers still around?
When my kids were young,
we used to go to that one in Fairfax.
That was
all
one
the time.
Of our go-tos. Bring the kids to Fuddruckers. There's claw machines.
Did you know
Fuddruckers
still exist?
So there's only a couple of them. I actually
can't be a lot left.
Evie sent this over this morning, and I had an epiphany of how to save Fuddruckers.
Yeah,
get rid of the massive restaurant, the dine-in, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone loves the Fuddruckers burger and the melted cheese.
Just do drive-thru?
No, just do like a tiny store. Like
just a walk-in.
Like a smaller footprint.
Yeah.
Like a little window.
We used to go to Fuddruckers in Fairfax a good amount.
Let's buy
after
it.
The show. Mm-hmm.
Let's buy the franchise.
Yeah, let's buy it.
It's, you know what?
Tell me how much
you'll
I
get
have.
It at a bargain.
You don't have to borrow. You'll get it at a bargain. Money. You never use your own money.
I'm in.
It's a distressed asset.
Yeah, I mean, if you never use your own money, you get business plan.
Yeah, I'm in.
Now you
I
mentioned
Tom to write a
can we do
plan.
It?
You mentioned
get the ChatGPT to put up a business plan.
You mentioned the cheeseburger at McDonald's.
Yeah,
and I'm a quarter pounder with cheese guy, and I was pretty sure. Now maybe this is why it doesn't make the list, because the way that they describe it is 100% fresh beef. I don't know how that's different. Why it wouldn't make the list?
What is 100% fresh beef? The quarter,
the quarter
pounder?
Pounder with cheese.
I don't know.
Well, maybe it's not made fresh on site.
So does
I don't
that
know.
Mean that those guys with the plastic gloves in the back are taking the patty and they're making the patty like we do at home?
I don't think so.
I don't think so
I
either.
I would guess not.
They're like making their own patties?
But maybe they do it.
A bowl of all
no
their ground
chance.
Beef?
That's impossible. At a McDonald's?
They're weighing the balls before they...
All right, so here's another... Where is...
Here's another one I kind of like. Not, just burgers, though.
All right.
Red Robin.
Hamburger.
Red Robin salad.
Do
they make them fresh?
Because their burgers are bold.
It's not on here.
But I don't... I mean, it's been a while since I've had one, but they are good.
It's completely slept on.
Steak
Red Robin.
And Shake.
I think so, too.
Apparently makes them fresh. Now, there's not a lot of Steak and Shakes around here.
No.
I know there's one in Indy that I've been to a few times. Midwest, I think it's more popular. But where are Fat Burgers? Do they have Fat Burgers here, or is that just like in L.A.? Where are Fat Burgers?
There used to be one in Columbia. Columbia, Maryland, I'm not sure. Yeah, or Orlando Brown's used to own it before he passed away.
Really?
Yeah.
There is a Steak and Shake in Fairfax.
There is a Steak.
Looks like maybe a George Mason.
My dad grew up going to Steak and
Shake. Wasn't Fat Burger in the Borgata?
Was there a Fat Burger
been. I
in
don't
the
remember.
Borgata downstairs?
I thought so.
I think you might be right.
I think so.
I can't recall, but I think that might be
the
right.
The Loser's Lounge, you always get a Fat Burger.
Yeah.
I had so many meals there.
I crushed the Triple King Challenge, or whatever it was called. I got my picture on the wall.
Well, they got a picture. They got a picture. Is that with the three patties?
You got your picture
on the wall at the Borgata?
Yeah, it was during one of your guys' JPOs. I went there.
So is it still there?
I'm going to visit it next time I'm there.
That's funny. The draft got mail all over his lips.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
It might be sooner than you think.
Was he holding up a number one?
But this picture of the Fat Burger looks incredible. Is there one nearby?
food pictures always look good.
Yeah, they're always better on
I know.
The,
you're just making me hungry right
Let
now.
Let me see Fat Burger nearby.
We do need to thank a listener, right?
Oh, we have to thank Kim.
Kim,
I guess, in honor of my birthday.
Got your birthday breakfast.
All breakfast.
It's very nice.
From Panera, so thank you so much.
Nice
Kim.
Of her.
She's,
we should have a birthday every day.
Yeah, tomorrow's my birthday.
Yeah, why not? Sudley Road, Manassas. There's a Fat Burger in Manassas.
That doesn't shock me.
Makes sense.
But anyway.
So you've given us five. I think you haven't given us all eight.
Well, a couple of the others, I don't know.
It definitely saddened me when I saw the Fuddruckers that was a holdout in Rockville for the longest time. Eventually just... They took
that location was
to
terrible,
it.
Though. It was like behind
they
like
were way
the
back
lamp
off
place,
Pike, but you knew where it was.
Right.
But you know something yeah. else.
All right,
is getting
so
built
I've never
there now.
Heard of the Counter Custom Burgers. Have you heard of them?
Don't know that one.
Never.
Yeah, so that's why I didn't mention that one. Hop Dottie. Have you heard of that?
Don't know that one.
Hop Dottie. It's a small burger chain. I'm not sure where. Culver's. Where's
nope.
Culver's?
So Culver's is a massive cult. Has a cult following. I don't know if that's even fair to call that. It's like a Midwest Wisconsin, Minneapolis.
Okay.
Awesome ice cream. A lot of cheese curds, cakes on their menu.
Yeah, you're going to pay more at all of these places, but you're going to get a fresh burger. Probably worth it.
So how much is a burger at
like Five Guys?
Five Guys.
If you get the single, probably like $7.99
or something. Yeah, like $8. $8 for the single.
More than that?
Well, for the single, but no, that's their junior. That's for little kids. If you get,
I always get the single.
If you get the double cheeseburger, or just the cheeseburger, which is on the menu,
yeah,
it's over $11, I think.
Hamburger.
Now, I got the cheeseburger and little fry was $18.
I know they charge
more. You always get the double drab?
Well, it just says cheeseburger. I'm not a kid, so.
Yeah. Well, you know those stops on 95,
shame.
Right? Those, whatever they call those things.
Yeah, like rest stops or
travel
plazas.
The houses.
Like the Miller Tidings or whatever the hell they are. I went
you're
to one the other day and I...
got Herting Bridge.
I got a Whopper Jr. with cheese at Burger
Whopper,
King.
Whopper. Yeah.
The Whopper Jr. was like over $5. No
has
fries, no meal.
No onion rings? You're not living your life correctly.
No.
Get those onion rings, brother.
So, and that I couldn't even watch the guy make it. It just tilted me. Yeah. I had to turn in my back.
Flame broiled.
Yeah.
So how much is
I'm pretty sure he's put it in the microwave.
BK.
Man, whoever came up with that story should get $1 billion.
You rule.
Because that's an earworm for everybody on the planet.
How much is a burger at Shake Shack? A good one.
I mean,
$15?
Probably $10 or $12 at least.
Definitely at his casinos.
I'll have boots on the ground at MGM. I'll tell you later today.
Are they charging for like grilled onions on it too?
I don't know. Probably like grilled onions and mushrooms. A lot of times.
Do you just
extra.
Want a Shack burger, Jason?
Yeah, just what's a
Shack burger.
Burger
single is $5.29.
Where
Shack burger double $8.09.
Well, that's
Shake
not bad. That's not bad.
Pretty reasonable.
$8 for a double.
According to Google.
I'd pummel that.
You got to probably add 50 cents for cheese.
I don't know, by the way, just as we're talking about costs, I don't know what's going on with gas. I drove in this morning, and my gas, it started at like 50 miles left, and then by the time I got about 2 miles later, it was at 40. It was dwindling
You're
fast.
Risking it.
Yeah, it was dwindling fast.
Yeah.
So I said, all right, I'm going to have to do the awful thing of getting out in this cold early morning and get gas. And I just decided to go to the Exxon on Connecticut Avenue in D.C., and the sign said $5.49 for the cheapest gas.
Okay.
Wow.
And I said, well, that sign can't be right.
Right.
It's impossible it can be right because right across the street, the sign says $3.99. I said, they're just not updating the sign. I went in and I started pumping. It was $5.49. I pulled a lurch. I put 4 gallons
you
in.
Yeah,
bamboozled. I just said, I'm done. I didn't really get bamboozled.
Yeah.
It was what it says it was.
That's wild.
There's a spot near my son's high school. There's Liberty Gas on one side and a Shell on the other side. The Shell is always like $1.30 more than the Liberty
Gas. That's what this was. How can that be?
Every
How
Liberty
do they survive?
I don't know. The average price of gas, I think, went down last week. It's like $3.45.
I think it's going back up, though.
Every Liberty Gas I've ever pulled into looks like a gas station out of like a 90s horror movie.
You know what I think
They're
it is?
Run down. They always look kind of numb.
Yes. You know what I think it is? Is I think I don't know though. What these places really charge $5.50. The margins are so small. I think on the gas, they make their money on all their other stuff.
Sure.
A guy that owns a gas station near me told me they'd make more money selling candy in the shop.
Right. Mm. Somebody comes in and gets
they make
Skittles.
More money selling Skittles and M&M's.
Starburst.
Than they do off the daggone gas.
But there's variants, man. I'm looking at two in D.C. right now. There's two eggs on. Same. One on Pennsylvania Avenue, $3.80. One on M Street, $4.06.
Well, and I paid $5.49. A legit well, paid $5.49.
You found the most expensive. Gas in the,
and right across the street, district. There's the green. What company's the green?
BP?
Green, maybe it was a BP.
Right.
The green one, the green and white one.
Bickel Petroleum.
It was $3.99. How did they charge $1.54?
Should head over to Shell on Benning Road, $3.30.
Well, the problem is
49ers wide receiver chiming in on the matchup so vociferously.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.